It's a great story, this story of Gideon, isn't it? And I guess from my childhood Sunday school days, it brings back memories of it being told over and over again, how God chooses Gideon, and how instead of having a huge army to defeat the Midianites, he's given this group of 300 men, but the victory belongs to God. That's the overall theme of this story today. There's two possibilities that exist in our world. Either we are alone in our universe or we are not. Both are equally terrifying. I often wonder how people survive when God is not a part of their life. I can't imagine now what it's like to have no clear answer to what we are accountable to or who we are accountable to for the way in which this life is lived. I think there's this universal expectation, whether you're religious or not religious, that there is a hope of some reckoning, some accountability somewhere. But to have no idea how that is measured or where that accountability sits, or it really makes it difficult to understand just what is the worth of this life. It makes this life and our existence very confusing. And then, on the other hand, as we go through Scripture, as you gain an understanding, especially as we're looking at the Old Testament and this particular period of the Judges, of what life is like when there is accountability to God. And we see over and over again in the history of the nation of Israel and this period of Judges of what happens when God holds this group of people accountable for the relationship they were supposed to have with him. And we see the effects of sin and the reality that God holds them accountable for their faithfulness to him. And when they're not faithful, there are consequences for their behaviour. And that's why they're in this situation that we find them in at the moment with Gideon, where they had been worshipping other gods, and God says, I'm going to hold you accountable. They are punished because they are overrun by the Midianites, and they live in fear under the Midianites. What happens throughout Judges is we see this ongoing pattern of the people of Israel forgetting about the nature of their relationship with God and the fact that they were supposed to be faithful to God, falling into sin, worshipping other gods, being oppressed, and then crying out to God for help, God delivering them through a judge. And Gideon is one of these judges. It's summed up very succinctly, this period of Israel's history, in the end of the Judges, in verse 25, chapter 21, verse 25, where it says, during that period, there was no king. So this is pre-kings. No king in Israel, and everyone did what was right, what seemed right to them. Everyone did what seemed right to them. And that happens over and over again. Recently, when I was returning home from the United States, it's a long flight, you know, when you do a couple of legs and it's a long way to come home. I probably said 30 words to people in the first 20-odd hours of travelling. And then in the last hour and a half, I spent the entire leg of that journey from Sydney back to Brisbane talking to the guy who was next to me. And it turned out that he was Jewish. And he had an amazing story. He was probably in his mid to late 40s, and he had an amazing story of where his family had come from. Most of his family had been wiped out in Auschwitz, and they had moved to Australia. He was a quite a wealthy guy. He had two sons. One was about 15, who was being headhunted for Facebook because he had created an app, an iPhone app or an Android app, a game that was number one in the game app charts or something or other. And he goes, it's not been good for him to be so successful. And that's a lot of our conversation was about the difficulties that success or easy success had caused for his eldest child. But his children went to a Jewish school in the eastern suburbs of Sydney. He attended a synagogue where guys like Frank Lowy and Harry Triguboff, who are two of the wealthiest men in Australia, also attend. But he said there's an awful cost for being a Jew. He said, my kids every day, when they go into school, the cars, as they're dropped off, the cars are checked underneath. In Australia, this surprised me. They're checked underneath by mirrors to check that there's no bombs or, you know, anything that could explode. They have to have a very high security around the school because there's constant threats of attack. And as we talk more and more about being a Jew, it really started to hit me that this was a guy who's understood his people's history as one of constantly being persecuted, where it seems like, for him, the whole world is against them. And it wasn't a matter of when they would be attacked again. Sorry, if they would be attacked again, but when it was going to occur. There was an expectation that this was going to happen. And he reflected, you know, because we shared about, you know, we as a Christian and as a Jew, we both share the Old Testament. And we reflected on, you know, just that part of the history where, not particularly judges at the time, but where that had happened over and over again throughout their history. And it really hit me that there is something very important that we still need to understand about God's relationship with the people of Israel, because there's still impacts coming through in today's world. The story of Gideon is a story of what happens when God turns up. When God turns up. Have you ever thought that your world was secure? That you had all the ducks lined up and nothing could go possibly wrong? You know, you had your life planned out, or your career planned out, or your family planned out. The temptation is that we, in our Western world, can be lulled into a false sense of security because we have so many safety nets in our world. This false sense of security can lead us into thinking that we are in control of our world, whether it is about our career or how much money we have in the bank or the friends that we have or our health. The reality is we don't really have that much control over those things. At least we don't have as much control as we would like to think that we have. God chose Gideon. God turned up in Gideon's life at a place where you wouldn't really expect him to turn up. Because Gideon was living in a place of fear, wasn't he? In chapter 6, it talks about how he's, you know, threshing his grain in a wine press. He was scared. And from this place of fear, God chose Gideon to be the one through whom he would demonstrate his victory over the Midianites. I love the designation that God gives to Gideon, mighty warrior. Do you get the implications of that? Here's a guy doing stuff in a wine press because he's so scared. Here's God calling or designating him mighty warrior. But the really important thing as we go into chapter 7 is the realization that the mighty warrior wasn't mighty in his own strength. He was only mighty through God who strengthens him. Of all the people that God could have chosen, I think over and over in the Bible, God chooses the least likely. Simply because I reckon he gets a kick out of showing his might through those we least expect. So that puts us in a good place this morning, doesn't it? All of us. God chose Gideon when he was living in a place of fear. You know, fear is a horrible thing, isn't it? But fear can also become a comfortable place for us to live in as well. Sometimes we can make our fears our friends, can't they? They can become our security blanket because we can hide behind them. Oh, I can't do this because I'm not good enough. You know, I don't have the skills to do that job. I'm not smart enough, or I can't, you know, any number of excuses that we can come up with that really are just fears that we have. And sometimes they can become very comfortable. So in chapter 7 of Judges, it starts off with God choosing, or Gideon choosing, the group of men who were going to fight with him to overcome the Midianites. And this, I love this part of the story. It starts off with 30-odd thousand guys who gather around him. And then in Judges we're told, you have too many men for me to allow you to defeat the Midianites. Too many guys. And I love the reason why there's too many people. Because if you do it with too many guys, the people of Israel will deny me the credit and claim they won the victory on their own. That's another huge danger for us, isn't it? To think, okay, I've lined up the ducks. I've done this little prayer on the side, but I'm really the one that got the victory. Now, God was absolutely determined with Gideon, this mighty warrior that he chose, that the nation was going to definitely know that it was God that delivered them. It wasn't going to be on their strength. And so we see step after step taken to reduce the army from 30-odd thousand guys to down to 300. Just so they know, it's God who's going to be the one who delivers them. Now, sometimes God turns up in our life, and I don't know about you, but I don't always like the steps that he takes us through, so I know that it's definitely going to be God's victory that's happening. And I know at times God has taken me from a place of fear to a place of victory, but the in-between places are not always easy to go through. The path that God chooses for us can sometimes seem a little bit crazy. It doesn't make sense to reduce your army from 30,000 to 300 to defeat a group of people who look like as numerous as the, you know, the locusts. That doesn't make sense. Sometimes it takes faith and trust to choose the path that God has for us. And God's path is always going to be different to the world's path, isn't it? And we see that clearly demonstrated in this passage of Judges 7. Why choose me? Isn't that crazy, God? Why choose Gideon? Why choose the Highfields Church of Christ? Sometimes God sees something in us that no one else can see. And I think it's a wonderful concept to have, to know that the Creator of the universe, the God who loves me, sees something particularly unique in me. Who has a journey for me through this life that he's going to hold me accountable to, but has a particular journey for me that is chosen only for me. Because I am special. I am uniquely loved. I'm uniquely cared for. That path may not make sense to anyone else in the world, but to God and to me, it is that unique path that he has carved out. Why Gideon? Probably because he was the least likely. And as I said before, God takes delight right throughout Scripture in choosing the least likely to show his wonderful plan. Secondly, this morning, when you're chosen, you may not always feel that confident, but God turns up. Gideon lacked faith. We see that as he lays out the fleece. Gideon wasn't the most confident of leaders as he was when he was first chosen by God. But God turned up for Gideon. Even in his lack of faith, the fleeces were still the right wetness. God did that for Gideon. And then, you know, I find this part amazing too, that God takes Gideon and shows him how big the job is. You know, he takes him and so he can see that there's, you know, swarms of these Midianites. It was a huge task that he was being called to do. As thick as locusts in the valley, and their camels were as numberless as the sands of the seashore. This was really important for Gideon. God didn't give him a little pep talk, you know, and get him geared up and ready to go out to conquer. He went and took him and showed him how big the job was. God turned up. God turns up and sometimes asks us to wait. You know, throughout these passages in Judges about Gideon, there's not an instant step from fear to victory, is there? You know, there's not a magical touch and then all of a sudden he's a courageous leader. There's steps along the way. There's the fleece. There's the steps of choosing his men. And then there's this dream that God gives, that he's given this, and the interpretation of the dream. And then finally, there are the instructions for the battle. Very often, we don't like to wait in our world. We want to rush to the destination. We want to arrive. But the steps of faith are all about Gideon taking each step as he's instructed. And as he takes each step, God keeps turning up for him. God always asks us to be faithful. God always asks us to be faithful. Gideon's story begins with the people of Israel forgetting about what they were called to do, to worship God and no other gods. The reason why they needed rescuing was because they had been unfaithful to God. And so they needed a deliverer. And of course, as you read through the story of Gideon, we realize even after he conquers, he's still an imperfect leader. There are things that he does that aren't quite right still. But God turned up in the nation of Israel and through the story of Gideon. What happens when God turns up in our lives? Very early in my Christian journey, I was challenged about where I was going to put my life. It was in a gathering in Cornerstone, in a Christian community. I was in my second year, and I was in the midst at that time of making some important decisions about where I was going to head in the future. And I'd just been offered a really attractive career in nursing. It was a really secure job. And I was promised this career path that would lead me through a fairly rapid promotional pathway. It had a really attractive salary, especially after being in Cornerstone and living on $10 a week, pocket money, as a 26-year-old or something, which wasn't that much, even back then. And it also offered long-term security. At that gathering, the speaker challenged us to think about what we were going to put our lives into as a group of young people. One of his statements, and I'll never forget it, was, "Everything we do was going to be put through God's refining fire. And when we're held accountable, it will be no use saying, 'My pile of ashes is bigger than yours.'" And that really hit home to me. I really heard God's calling at that time to ministry. And that was to be my primary focus. But there was a period in my life, not so long ago, where I got distracted. And as I got distracted, I didn't turn from God. I still loved God, I still prayed. But as I turned from that focus, my life degenerated into a place of increasing fear and worry. Then God turned up. And He crashed into my life. And He brought me to a place where those things had to be faced. And I thought I was strong. I thought that anything was possible. All I needed to do was to believe enough in myself and it could be done. I thought that I was in control. I thought I determined my future. And all I needed to do was to have enough things and my world was secure. And I was wrong. And God turned up. I think that God wants to turn up in all our lives. All of our journeys will be different. But God wants to turn up and to take us from a place of fear and worry. And He wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to make sure that there are no other gods in our life, no other priorities. There is one priority, and that's Him. But when God turns up, He challenges every part of who we are. He digs into those little sensitive worry areas, those little fear areas. Not because He wants to hurt us, but He longs for us to be made complete. When God turned up for Gideon, we see that first of all, there was that place of brokenness where they cried out to God for help. As in recognition of their sinfulness. When God turned up, we see that Gideon was living in a place of fear. He was nothing, but he was chosen by God. We see that Gideon is challenged to step out in faith. We see that he is fearful and sometimes falters as he steps out in faith. We see that God speaks very clearly to Gideon and says, it's going to be my victory, but the victory will come. He's given that dream that Werner read out for us, where the victory is assured. We see that when Gideon is given the victory, it's a decisive victory. And we can be also certain today that the victory that we have in Christ is just as decisive or even more decisive than what victory Gideon had over the Midianites. But then the question is for each one of us. Has God turned up for us this morning? Or what happens when God turns up in your life? When God turns up, He will disrupt your life. When God turns up, He will call upon us to take leaps of faith. When God turns up, He expects us to obey. When God turns up, He wants to know, are we with Him or aren't we? When God turns up, He expects us to act on what we know is true. And when God turns up in our life, we can be absolutely certain that He will prevail. Sooner or later, for all of us, there will be a battle to face. Sooner or later, God will take us to a point where we need to decide about His involvement in our life. Sooner or later, God will challenge the status quo. What can we learn from Gideon and how to handle it? Can we be confident in God and not our own resources? It's not an easy journey that God calls us on. When God disrupts, it can be very painful. But there's a challenge there, isn't there? About how serious the gospel is for us. And where our priorities are. And what the job is that we've been called to do. And whether we've been distracted from that job or not. And how confident we are in our own strength. And how much more we need to rely on God's strength. C.S. Lewis says, there are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? God wants to take us from the places of fear into the places of victory. The pathway is sometimes a pathway of brokenness. Well, often it is the path of brokenness, where we think we can do it. Instead, God wants to show us how He's going to do it. And I pray that that might be something that we as individuals and we as a church, as we move forward, might be able to do together.